Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Joshua chapter 7, and here we're going to see God's desire for the holiness of God's people. I want to take us back for a moment just to review a little bit of Joshua here. You know, God parted the river and they went through on dry ground. The Ark of the Covenant was right there in the river, and the water ceased to flow until they all crossed. And then as soon as everyone crossed, the priests came out of the river and the water went back. I mean, they saw that God's hand was upon them. And before they even went to war, God wanted to make sure they were circumcised, that their flesh was circumcised, but their hearts were circumcised, that they saw him as God and that they honored the covenant that God made with them. So before they moved forward, Israel, who didn't follow all the circumcision requirements in the desert of this next generation, they went ahead and circumcised them. This was going to be a holy effort and a holy war. God was desiring for people to reflect his image and likeness, to be his holy people, and to not be infiltrated by the pagan gods of the lands around them. Then they marched around Jericho, and they saw God's hand move, and literally just through marching and shouting, the walls of the city fall down. So they've seen God with them and for them. And when they went in to just devote everything to destruction, God instructed them through Joshua, "But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban." This is Joshua 6:18. "But as for you, only keep for yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them, and take some of the things under the ban, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and irons are holy to the Lord, and they shall go into the treasury of the Lord." So they were not to take anything of their own. They were not supposed to take the people's things of Jericho and begin to stash them in their own pockets and hide them away. They were supposed to devote everything to destruction, but the silver and gold they were to take to put into the sanctuary of God, not for themselves. He did not want them to take things of Jericho. I think partly because, it doesn't say this specifically, but he didn't want them to also worship their false gods. And, you know, think of plundering, you know, a city. I mean, you could have everyone just trying to grab whatever they had, whatever they wanted, and stash away. Think of how much stuff they could have dragged away from the people of Jericho. And there could have even been division amongst the people of Israel as far as who's going to take what. So this is what God clearly instructed them. Now, God has done so much to show them his power and who he is. You know, they just crossed the river. They just saw the walls of Jericho fall down, and they were told not to take anything. So that is the backdrop of Joshua chapter 7. And it says this, verse 1, "But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zadbi, the son of Zerah, took from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel." So God is upset because this person from the tribe of Judah hid some things and took things that he wasn't supposed to take. Now, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. It's kind of interesting. You know, we have, you know, obviously it's nothing really connected, but, you know, we have this whole thing with AI right now, you know, and here, this city called AI, which is near Beth Haven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." So the men went up and spied out AI. They returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck them down, about 36 of their men, and pursued them from the gate as far as Shabarim and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now, they have just seen God miraculously help them take a city of Jericho, and God has been with them. And now, right away, the second city that they go to, they're defeated. And this is like they were riding high after Jericho. And now what? You know, now maybe everyone's going to defeat us. I mean, they're just, this really shook Israel to the core. Listen to what happens to Joshua. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. Now, Joshua doesn't know what happened yet as far as why they got defeated here, why they're under really the punishment of God for some people taking things under the ban. So Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan." I mean, he's like, we shouldn't even came over here. "O Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it, and they will surround us and cut off your name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" He's like, this is the beginning of the end. I mean, everyone's going to see that we're not as strong as we were, and people are going to be emboldened to attack us. So this is what he's saying to God. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have taken some of the things under the ban and have stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them under their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up." Remember, I said this is a holy war and God's wanting them to be a holy people. "Rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. In the morning, then, you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families." Excuse me. All right, let's begin. "In the morning, then, you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come near by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And it shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, and he and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel." And this is interesting. You know, you hear about someone's going to be made an example, and apparently God, you know, goes by that kind of logic, wisdom, where he says, you know what, I'm going to make an example of whoever has done this, because whoever's done this has accursed Israel, and I want to make sure that people obey me, follow me, honor me. This is a holy war, and they cannot be taking things that they shouldn't take and hiding them when I specifically told them not to. And by making this person and family an example, Israel's going to know to honor me, and this is how I'm going to bless them in their future battles, because I'm going to know that they're honoring me. So this family is going to be made an example. And, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal. And this guy did both. So Joshua arose early in the morning and brought Israel near by tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah near, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites near man by man, and Zabdi was taken. He brought his household near man by man, and Achan, the son of Camri, the son of Zadbi, the son of Zerah from the tribe of Judah was taken. And it almost seems like there's some kind of, like Joshua is perhaps doing this by lot. Like Joshua doesn't know who it is, but God somehow is illustrating to Joshua who it is that did this. So somehow they're choosing maybe by random, but it's not, because God is making it happen that the right family who did this is the one who's going to be illustrated to have done this. And so then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." So Achan answered Joshua and said, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold, and 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with silver underneath it." And, you know, he confessed it, but unfortunately, in this case, for him, God is choosing to make him an example so that people see the severity of stealing and lying and concealing and dishonoring him, so that they won't do it more, and so that he will be with Israel in their future battles. So he's going to be made an example. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in his tent with the silver underneath it. Then they took from inside the tent and brought them to Joshua and to the sons of Israel, and they poured them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. They raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day, and the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. So this man pays the penalty of it all because he disobeyed God. And, you know, gosh, what an amazing season of history that we live in today, that although we have sinned, that God has sent Jesus to be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And through Jesus, there is grace and forgiveness. Hallelujah. And boy, do we need that, don't we? So praise God that we do have the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. But I'll tell you what, God does not want us to take that wonderful grace that we've been given through Jesus and then just willy-nilly accept it as though God is not holy or that God does not care. And dear body of Christ, dear church, dear anyone's listening, don't mess with sin. Don't mess with stealing. Don't mess with lying. Honor the Lord. He desires you to honor him. And when you sin, praise God for forgiveness and, you know, confess your sin before the Lord, but do not take sin lightly. God deals with sin harshly. He deals with it so harshly that in order to deal with our sin, he took his one and only son and devoted him to destruction. Although, praise God, he rose him from the dead. But do you see God takes sin very seriously, so seriously that someone had to die to forgive us? But then we need to honor God in the fact that he paid such a great price to free us from the consequences of our sin. And he does want us now to be holy as he is holy and to honor him. So may we take righteous living seriously. May we seek to honor God in the way we live and don't dishonor him. Let's honor him with the way that we live our lives. Hallelujah. Let's give glory to God. Let's seek to be holy as he is holy. And when we have sinned, make sure we honor the one who died for us, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a great sacrifice. Well, today we see the holiness of God and we see the seriousness of sin. And may this serve as an example to us. Because you know what? Sin leads to destruction. There's consequences when we do sin and live apart from God's desire. And may we learn from those consequences, even if they're not ours. May we learn from this man here. And may we live to honor our Lord. God bless you all.